Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, Oak Leaf Clinics plans to open several new clinics in the month of May in the Chippewa Valley. Also, Eau Claire's healthcare crisis is drawing statewide attention.
You're watching Capital City Sunday.
Good morning. This week on Capital City Sunday, the challenge ahead in the Chippewa Valley as two major hospitals shut down.
I wish I could say we have a simple answer. At this point, we just don't.
The task force that's looking for solutions, plus where people in that area can go for emergency care.
Coming up, we'll hear Eau Claire Chamber of Commerce President Dave Miner's appearance on Capital City Sunday before a statewide audience 1 week ago. And also, Wisconsin monitoring the side effects of sports betting. It's all ahead on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. We begin with the fact that there are replacements coming for the loss of healthcare options in western Wisconsin.
We've been busy working on trying to figure out how to preserve some of the primary care access that Prevea had in the western Wisconsin in general, and have identified places that we felt like we could be helpful in trying to keep some of those practitioners in practice.
The president of Oak Leaf Clinics, Dr. Chris Longbella, tells WEAU-TV they plan to open clinics in May in Cornell, Ladysmith, Menominee, and Rice Lake to offset some of the Prevea clinics closing at the end of June.
Things that we identified that were places that we're currently not, where we could work to improve our footprint and our ability to kind of help out in those communities.
Longbella says,
you know, for patients, there's already been a lot of stress just in kind of knowing that their caregiver, the person that they know, may not be sticking around. So there's already been movement of patients to different places. You know, once again, what we've been trying to do is just identify the people that want to stick around, start to try to offer employment contracts to those people, keep those services in place, hope that patients are going to have some patience with us.
Longbella also tells WEAU that Oak Leaf is looking to expand urgent care services in Chippewa Falls to help replace St. Joseph's, which closed over a week ago.
We're going to be moving forward in trying to secure space with urgent care services that are in Chippewa Falls. We're working to basically try to maintain that service. Just knowing that trying to preserve the physician community that exists in western Wisconsin and throughout western Wisconsin is huge. And so doing that wherever we can do that, helping out to do that, has been something that is motivating us. We know, too, that healthcare in general and having access to high-quality healthcare is super important to the community.
And as we mentioned at the outset, the Chippewa Valley's healthcare crisis is garnering statewide attention, as evidenced by Capital City Sunday mentioning it in the lead just a week ago when Caroline Dade introduced the story to her statewide audience this way.
The Chippewa Valley has two fewer hospitals this morning. Sacred Heart in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's in Chippewa Falls closed their doors on Friday. It's part of the ongoing healthcare crisis in western Wisconsin. In January, HSHS and Prevea announced they would be leaving the area. The announcement took the Chippewa Valley by surprise and left officials scrambling to find solutions. Sacred Heart was originally supposed to close April 21st, but the hospital system CEO says the decision to close early was based on a commitment to maintain safe and quality care for patients. In February, state lawmakers passed a bill that secured $15 million for hospitals and clinics across the region. It aimed to give money directly to existing emergency departments. But a partial veto from Governor Tony Evers expanded the reach to fund any hospital services meeting the area's healthcare needs. Evers was in Eau Claire Monday visiting healthcare providers, and he took the opportunity to urge the Joint Finance Committee to release that funding. Evers said the decision about where to spend the money should be made by people in the Eau Claire area, not by Republican legislators. Now, we reached out to the Finance Committee's Republican co-chair, Senator Howard Markline, and Representative Mark Bourne, about whether they plan to take action on the funds. Bourne's office referred us to his statement after the governor's partial veto in February. He said, quote, "The committee will not support a proposal that redirects the funding from the high-need area to anywhere in western Wisconsin." Senator Markline also took issue with the governor's partial veto, saying, quote, "He is asking a committee of the legislature to rewrite legislation, change legislative intent, and fund something that he vetoed." Markline continued to say, quote, "If the governor were serious about sending funds to Chippewa Valley hospitals, he would have signed the bill." As we've reported, a task force has formed in response to the closures. It includes leaders from the city and county of Eau Claire, Menominee, Altoona, and Chippewa Falls. The Eau Claire Area Chamber of Commerce is heading up that task force. Sarah Masler-Donar sat down with the chamber's president and CEO to get his reaction to the funding fight, the hospital closures, and where their work stands now.
Dave, thanks for taking some time to be with us.
Thank you, and good morning.
Good morning to you. Well, obviously the announcement that these hospitals and clinics would be closing was a shock, but how is the task force now working to address the new challenge presented by an even earlier hospital closure in Sacred Heart and a loss of care, specifically those emergency rooms?
Well, that's probably one of our biggest struggles right now is how do we replace those? You know, you don't just open up an emergency room for a hospital as a standalone operation. You have to have other services. Those individuals that are going to be going to an emergency room typically don't go home the same day. So we know it's going to be an issue. We know it's going to be a struggle. But everybody connected to those is looking for solutions from the paramedics to the hospitals themselves and working alongside with Mayo Clinic, with Marshfield Clinic on independent conversations, they are looking at how can they expand their emergency room facilities and staffing. But again, because they're current buildings, there's limitations to it. So it's one of the big hurdles in front of us. I wish I could say we have a simple answer. At this point, we just don't.
Time is of the essence here. So far, what has the task force been able to accomplish in terms of finding solutions to this continuing crisis?
Well, this news came a little bit over a month and a half ago. Within less than 24 hours, 26 hours, the chamber, along with our partners at the Menominee Chamber, Chippewa Falls Chamber, we put this task force together. Instead of normal task force that have two or three, we have 13 different subcommittees underneath of it. Within there, we have over 200 people that have volunteered to help out in any way they can. So people ask me where my optimism comes from. That's where it comes from, is those people wanting to help. But it was really about taking care of the most important thing every day, the patients. So we started looking at what lines of service are going to be left vacant by the news from HSHS. We needed to give both Mayo and Marshfield an opportunity to analyze what they could do and what capacity could they expand. We know that both of them are increasing OB operations. Marshfield is looking at delivering an additional 600 babies this year. Mayo is somewhere in the 200. Mayo has stepped up in oncology and cancer. So both of those entities have done an outstanding job to pick up what they could. But what's even more exciting for us, and I think also has to do with the strong economic engine that the Chippewa Valley was before this news, we've seen over 14 independent companies either here or from the outside call and want to expand or come to this area. And what's nice about them is two things. One, they're going to pick up a piece of the pie. So instead of hoping we're going to have a brand new hospital just pop in overnight, these entities are coming in saying, we'll take care of these specific lines. We're going to help you out. We want to come to your community and do that. But what's also nice is a lot of these businesses consider themselves entrepreneurs, young businesses, young individuals who saw a gap, saw a problem and had a solution. So each one of those, as I said, is going to fill a hole, come in and do different things, and we're going to keep looking for more and more of these. Because the long term, as we look at this 1, 2 years, 10 and 15 years out, healthcare is not going to look then what it is today. So a lot of those decisions we're making are based on the fact of what's healthcare looking like in the long term.
There's no word now on when the Joint Finance Committee will release that $15 million in funding. Does that stalemate between the governor and Republicans who control the committee impact your ability to find solutions? Because as we said earlier, time is of the essence here.
I think one of the things that we're very proud of here in the Chippewa Valley area, in the Eau Claire area, is that our legislative delegation has truly worked together in a very bipartisan fashion to address big challenges and big opportunities. You know, one of the key successes we've seen over the past 25 years in our area is the ability to work together, to collaborate on a solution. When we really want to take today the politics out of what is going on and allow Mayo Marshfield to determine how best can the $15 million be used to take care of the most emerging problem that we have. We understand there's a difference between the governor, between joint finance, but for us, it's about where can the money be used? Just tell us how you want it to be used for, and then we're going to help figure that out.
Without that money at this point, is that a problem for the region, or will the task force and other local leaders come up with other solutions in the meantime to offset that funding that is not available?
The region will not allow any out, whether it's Madison, D.C. We're not going to let others dictate to us how we succeed and how we fail. We're going to do everything we can, as we have, as a community, as a region for years, figure out how we solve our own problems. When we look to Madison and to D.C. for this, it's going to be, here's everything we have done. We've done everything with all of the resources that we have available. We need you now to step up and do this. One thing that I have been explaining both to our politicians in D.C. and in Madison is this is our Hurricane Category 5 problem. We didn't plan for this, but it's something we do need help for. We need both of the levels of government to step up and say, here's what we can do, because this is beyond the capacity of any place else. One of the things I would clearly state to anybody throughout Wisconsin or anybody watching this anywhere, this is not a one-off problem. If we do not fix some of the root problems in healthcare across our country, this will continue to happen in other communities and other areas. And I don't know other areas can sustain this type of an impact as well as we have, only from the standpoint of we knew we were on a trajectory of growth before this news came. So if this happens in areas that maybe is not growing, I'm not sure what's going to happen there. But we cannot allow, you know, politics and politicians to stop us from gaining the ground we need to be able to solve these problems. We need everybody, as we have over the past 25 years, truly working together to find the solution for our community.
To wrap up here, Dave, how can people find more information about the work you all are doing besides keeping their eye on local media shows like ours?
I think the biggest thing what we have been telling everybody is go to any of the chamber's websites, the Eau Claire Chamber, the Chippewa Falls, the Menominee Chamber. We have linked our sites together, so the most current information on everything we are doing is being done right there. Anybody can go anytime they want, get that, and find out what's happening.
Eau Claire Chamber of Commerce President Dave Miner in his appearance on Capital City Sunday on the Chippewa Valley healthcare crisis 1 week ago. And finally, March Madness is in full swing. And in case you haven't noticed, gambling is more popular and common than ever. Now, Wisconsin hasn't fully embraced the movement, but experts still advise people to avoid unhealthy habits. The 2018 U.S. Supreme Court ruling paved the way for states to decide if they want to legalize sports betting. That helped fuel the presence of online platforms where people can place wagers through their smartphones. Wisconsin limits live bets to tribal casinos, but bettors can flock to some neighboring states for online access. Rose Blazinski of the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling says they're neutral on these laws, but they still have concerns.
We know that more people are going to do it, and we also know that more people are going to become addicted to gambling.
Since the legalization wave, Connecticut officials have reported a 200% increase in calls to gambling addiction hotlines. To protect yourself from falling into traps, prevention experts recommend only betting what you can afford. If troubling patterns emerge, they suggest things like deleting betting apps and switching to flip phones. Nearly 40 states allow some form of sports betting, but some do have restrictions for college games. The financial impacts of problem gambling can be obvious, but Blazinski notes that compulsive gamblers also have a higher suicide rate. And with mobile betting marketed toward young adults, she says this demographic should be considered high risk.
They're at a time in their life where they're high risk takers to start, and gambling fits right in with that, especially the sports betting. It makes them feel important. If you're winning, you can brag to all your friends.
Blazinski says a big problem in helping young adults falling into addiction is that Gamblers Anonymous resources are outdated in the age groups they cater to. Industry leaders note their ads come with disclosures about problem gambling and where to seek help, but prevention experts say they're not easy to understand, and they call for broader funding to carry out assistance programs. That does it for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week. Again, recapping, we began with Dr. Chris Longbella, president of Oakleaf Clinics, talking about the four clinics they plan to open in May in Cornell, Ladysmith, Menominee, and Rice Lake to offset the loss of the Prevea clinics that will be leaving later in June. Also, we heard Dave Miner, the Eau Claire Chamber of Commerce president, his visit on Capital City Sunday a week ago on Eau Claire's healthcare crisis and how the task force is dealing with things. And finally, we heard from Rose Blazinski, the head of the Wisconsin Council on Problem Gambling, regarding monitoring the side effects of sports betting. I'm Mark Halverson, thanking you for joining us for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio.